9.
Hebrews chapter number 9. Just as soon as you find it, let me ask a question. How many Bibles do we have in the house? Raise them up high. Raise it up high. Amen, amen. If you go to fight the battle, thank you, you may, against the enemy, you need the sword. Amen. We're going to win. The Word of God is profitable. One verse in the 9th chapter. Hebrews chapter number 9, 1 verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Let me read that again. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without shedding of blood, there's no covering for sin. I'm going to use that for thought this morning. And I'm going to go back to the beginning of the Bible. And I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But in the very first verse of the Bible, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But then I want you to understand the next verse. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Mark this down. When God made the heavens and the earth, it was not void and without form and with darkness. When God made it, He made it good. But Satan was cast out of the heavens. Lucifer, the archangel, was cast out of the heavens way before time began on this earth. And when he came to this earth, I want everyone to understand, he caused chaos and darkness and emptiness and confusion. I want you to mark this down, if you will. Everywhere Satan goes, there's confusion. Amen. And darkness. And a mess. In Carolina language. It's a mess. It doesn't make a difference if it's in the government, or if it's in your home, or if it's in your individual life. If Satan is there, it's in a mess. Amen. And the only thing that can help it out is the Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Then after bringing order out of the chaos that Satan had caused when he was cast out, the Bible says that God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden, the paradise, the Garden of Eden. We mentioned Sunday, Wednesday night, how that I believe that the earth will be the new heavens and the new earth. The new earth will be like the Garden of Eden, perfect, beautiful. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden in paradise, and the life was beautiful. Everything was wonderful. In the cool of the day, God Himself would come, and they would fellowship one with another. I'm glad for those times He comes by and fellowships with us. Amen. There's nothing better. It's good to have family reunions. It's good to get together. It's good to enjoy one another. But nothing compares with when the Lord comes by. Praise God. And Adam and Eve were enjoying themselves, but God said there's one thing, one command. You're not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan came along, tempted Eve. Eve listened to what he had to say, and she sinned. She was deceived, and she sinned, and she took a bite of the forbidden fruit. She gave it to her husband, and you know the story. From that day, sin entered into the world. Sin entered into mankind. That very day, sin came into the lives of those that were to be born ahead. Every one of us that were born of man and woman were born with sin in our lives. Sin nature in our lives. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the Bible says. And God said, as He told them what to do and they disobeyed, listen to what the Bible says. In the book of Genesis, it says Adam partook as well, and when he did, sin entered the humankind, and the Bible says Adam and Eve's eyes were open, and they realized that they were naked. Up until that time, everything beautiful, fellowship was wonderful, but now sin has come in. They realized their nakedness, and they hid from God. But there's a verse in the 3rd chapter that says, and God, let me read it.
made coats of skins and clothed them. Now, I was awakened Monday night in the middle of the night. Or maybe I hadn't even gone to sleep. But a thought came to me, and as I was lying in bed, I thought I'd better write this down. So I got up and went downstairs, and I couldn't find anything but the back of an envelope. And God outlined what He wanted me to preach this morning. He wanted me to preach on the blood. A lot of people don't even want to hear about it. But I thank God for the blood. Did you know when the Bible says, and God prepared for them animal skins to clothe their nakedness? God killed an animal. God shed innocent blood. Why? Because He knew that without the shedding of blood, there is no covering. There is no propitiation. That's what propitiation means, covering. There is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no remission. And I see how that God killed an animal, shed blood that they might have a covering. And then I read further in the Bible. And I come to the next chapter and I find that Adam and Eve had sons, and they had a son named Cain and another son named Abel. And there came a time when God, I want you to understand, this is where God let them to know what was required when they offered a sacrifice. Some people had a hard time understanding that. That maybe Cain gave, he did the best that he could and he didn't know any better. God told him what He required. He required blood. How do you know, Brother John? Because the Bible lets me to know that Cain disobeyed. And God told him that if you'll obey, everything will be all right. He disobeyed, and the Bible also says that Abel, by faith, obeyed. How do you get faith? He heard what God said. And so he moved by faith, and he offered from a lamb of the flock. He shed blood, as the Lord had told him, and God had said that he's offering. Why did he offer that? Because God knew that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. I went on. I came to the book of Exodus. I read a similar story by the nation of Israel. They've been in bondage. They've been strangers in a foreign land since Abraham entered Canaan land way back yonder. For 400 years, from Abraham coming into Canaan until now, they're getting ready, the nation of Israel, to leave Egypt. This some 2 to 3 million strong. It's April the 14th, 1491 B.C. God is giving command. He said, I'm going to deliver the people. I've heard the cry. I'm going to deliver the people from Egyptian bondage. They've been in bondage 215 years. They've been slaves. They've been in the brickyards. Their fingers have been bleeding. Their backs have been bleeding for beatings and all the rest. But God said, I'm going to deliver them. And thank God, on April 14th, 1491, God has said these words, go get a lamb. Kill the lamb. Strike down both side posts of the door and all over the door. Put the blood there. When I pass through tonight, everyone has a house with no blood. The oldest child and the oldest of the beast, the firstborn of man and beast, will die. Think about it. Why did God say such as that? Because without shedding of blood, there is no remission. They put the blood over the doorpost. Death angel passes through. Israel believed God. They obeyed God. And they walked out with the high hand of God leading them. When God delivers, brother, He does a good job. When He delivered you and me from sin, He did a good job. He did not do a 99 4/10 or 7/10 or whatever. He did a complete work. All of it, yes, all of it. All sins were covered by the blood. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus can cover sins. Amen, amen. 15 centuries pass. And the Virgin Mary gives birth to the Christ child. And when He comes on the scene, the nation of Israel has been waiting all these years, 2,000 years from Abraham until now, waiting for the Messiah, When will him to come that Isaiah said, when he comes, he'll open blinded eyes. When he comes, he'll cause the lame to walk. And Jesus came on the scene and he did that very thing. He caused the lame to walk. He healed the sick. He walked on the water. He fed the multitude with a boy's lunch. But listen closely. Rather than the children of Israel accepting him as the Messiah, they rejected him. They refused to listen. They refused to believe that he was the Messiah. And they said, crucify him. Crucify him. We don't want him. Let his blood be on us and our children. If they had understood what they were saying, they had known what they were saying, they have suffered for 2,000 years because of that very thought. The wrath and the judgment of God because they rejected the Messiah. Think about it, if you will. All of that, they crucified him. They hung him on a cross. He poured out his life's blood to save mankind. Because he knew, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. I'm going to read the words of a couple of songs. One of them is, Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. Died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear, for he will pass over you. And the chorus says, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What do you say, preacher? Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Another song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I like the next line. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is this song talking about? There is no remission without the shedding of blood. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad today that the blood of Jesus was poured out on Calvary to wash your sins away? Hallelujah. I'm glad today that all of our sins are gone.
Hallelujah.
By the blood of the Lamb. Thank God. First of all, I've mentioned, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. The second part that God gave me goes a little further. A man that was a teacher, no doubt in the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Rabbi, a leader of the Jews and a member of the Sanhedrin court, of the high court. Something was bothering him. Something was stirring his soul. Something was not satisfying his life and he decided, I'll go to Jesus. I've heard so much of him, I'll go to Jesus. Let me leave this with you today. Whatever your need is, go to Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You got financial needs, go to Jesus.
Yes.
You got physical needs, go to Jesus.
Yes.
Whatever they might be, go to Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Bible says that he came to Jesus with something stirring his heart. And Jesus, knowing his thoughts and the concerns that he had, Jesus didn't even ask for or wait for him to ask the question. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to stop right there. I want to make this plain as I possibly can. There are a lot of people today that would like to go to heaven, but they want to go a different route. But the Bible says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Much less inherit it, he cannot even see it. That's important for us today. Jesus said the words to Nicodemus, unless the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I leave this with you. First of all, it was, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But now he's saying, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And so many are trying to take a different route. And so if there's anyone here today that has had in your mind that if I follow those who profess to be Christians, and I follow their fashions and their actions and their lifestyle, They claim to be Christians, and if I follow that, I'll surely make it. Listen closely. You'll have to do better than that.
That's
right. Ye shall know the truth. Now, I've got in my study, I've got the manuals from the Pentecostal Holiness Church, and I've got the manuals from the Pentecostal Free Will Baptist with the headquarters in Dunn, North Carolina. And I've read the Articles of Faith and what have you of the Assemblies of God. We were saved in the Assemblies. I've read the doctrine of the Church of God. I know about the Nazarenes and the Free Methodists. I've studied the religions of the world, and somewhat, not a whole lot, but I've studied them. There are a lot of people that have been deceived. They've been deceived that I can make it to heaven without being born again. Some people in the church, they claim to be Christians, don't even know what born again means. Some believe that it's been when the baby is sprinkled with water as a baby, and now the Christian and that person, that baby is born again. Let me tell you something today. No one is born again by water.
Amen.
It's the blood that washes our sins away. Amen, amen. What is said, preacher? Jesus said, unless a man is born again. Born again. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Every one of us. I've often used the analogy, I use a thought. Isn't it amazing? You get out here on I-64, get out here on Hampton Boulevard, people running 60, 65 miles an hour, and they're dead people behind the wheel. Dead in sin. Now, they might be good drivers, but they're dead in sin. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, it's a danger out there. But he said, unless a man is born again, I'll tell you what happened. When Jesus saved my wife and I that Sunday night in the altar side by side, he didn't whitewash it. He didn't skim over anything. He got rid of every sin in our lives. Everything, everything, everything. And when we got up in that altar, we were new creatures in Christ Jesus. My name was still Glenn and her name was still Hilda, but we were brand new Glenn and Hilda.
That's right.
Amen, amen. We'd been married for a year, but we were just getting started in marriage right then. You might not understand that. We've been married a year, but the night we got saved, brother, our marriage really began. What do you say, preacher? When Jesus is in the marriage, it makes all the difference in the world. Thank God, thank God. He said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so as I was searching through the scriptures and found so many other illustrations along that line, how that when people are serving God and obeying God, what God does in their hearts and in their lives, without being born again, man cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me leave this with you today and I'll hurry along. Being born again is one of the fundamental Bible truths in the scripture. If we leave it out, we miss heaven. Yet millions have refused to accept what Jesus had to say. I jotted something down, and I'm going to read it. Man can reject the Word of God. He can alter the Word of God. He can mock the Word of God. He can refuse the Word of God. But he cannot change the Word of God. I mentioned in Bible study, there are new translations coming out all the time. We have, this is the King James. Did you know today they have what is known as the Queen's Bible? For the gay society. Did you know there are those today that are trying to make the Bible fit their philosophy? You can go to the bookstore and you can find all kinds of translations. And I'm not here to put down everything. There's some have some good points in them. There are a lot of translations. And somebody said, and I know this is humorous, someone said, well, if the King James Version was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Well, Paul wasn't around when the King James Version came out. But I found something. And I'm not a scholar, but I found something. If you're a follower, the Word of God, in the King James Version, you'll make it to heaven. One version says that Mary was not a virgin, she was just a young maiden. Listen, you can be a young maiden and not be able to be the mother of Christ. The Bible says she's a virgin. There's translation after translation and it is coming out. All kind of committees are together trying to come up with another translation that fits this. Man can put down the Word of God if he wants to. He can mock it if he wants to. But it's not going to change the Word of God. My Bible says the Word of God cannot be broken. Doesn't mean that you can't sin and go against the Word of God, but you can't change it. When you stand before God, I'll tell you what you'll be judged out of. You'll be judged by the Word. And I'm glad that I can tell you today that being born again is one of the fundamental Bible truths. And if we'll obey God and serve God and live for Him, everything will be all right in our lives. In the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses was nearing the end of his life, he called the congregation together to go over what God had done and give them some instructions as they go into the land of promise. He's not going to be going himself. We come to a certain chapter in Deuteronomy, 30th chapter. And Moses says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The people were given the privilege to make a choice for themselves. Let me stop right here today. I'm glad that God has given us the privilege individually to make the choice for ourselves. If someone else made the choice for me, he might make the wrong choice. If I make my choice, then I'll have to live by the choice that I make.
That's right.
I can't blame anyone else. Now, I'm gonna share this with you. I was raised, I've told you, I was raised in a Christian home. We prayed around the kitchen table. Big kitchen and a big table. And a big family. And I can remember Daddy praying. And each of us, I don't know how it was in your house, when we went to the table, each of us knew where we were going to sit. Daddy here, Mama here, and I sat beside Mama and on around to the youngest child was next to Daddy. When we get on our knees to pray around the table, Daddy would pray. He'd call us individually by name. God bless Catherine and Brother and Durwood and Royce and Jean. Five of us then. Another came along later on. He'd pray. If my daddy and mother had the privilege of making the choice for their children, we would have all been saved and served God.
Amen.
But he couldn't make the choice. We had to make it ourselves. And so they taught us what to do and how to live. And I'm glad I can tell you today, I've made the choice.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've heard my daddy stand up and testify how good God is. I didn't understand it all now. I can now. He's good to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. What do you say, preacher? I'm saying being born again is something real in our lives. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, he says. And now he says, without being born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God, our God today. Help us, I pray. Everyone to realize, when the Lord come to our rescue, when the Lord died on the cross for us, when he poured out his life blood for us and gave us the choice, that was a great thing for him to do. He paid it all and said, now you enjoy it. Can you beat that? Nowhere. He paid for everything. He said, now go enjoy it. My God's good. My God's good. And I'm enjoying it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The people were given the privilege, and after all of these years, from 1451 B.C., the last year of Moses' life, until today, 2013 A.D., is still the same way. The same thing. We'll have to obey God's Word if we're going to enjoy the blessing.
Amen.
Without Him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
You must be born again. The third thing that God showed me. I've mentioned that shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without being born again, no man can see the kingdom of God. There are other truths in the Bible along this line that I'm going to share. The 15th chapter of John, Jesus said these words, without me, you can do nothing. Let me say that again. Without me, you can do nothing. I don't care what it is. You said, but Brother Jones, I can go in the shipyard, I can go to Nashville, I can go wherever, I can do my job, I don't need him. You couldn't even get out of bed without him. Without me, you can do nothing. The songwriter wrote, I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need Thee, and I can surely identify with that. I can say today, I need Him, the Lord. I need Him all the time. When I wake up in the morning, I don't care what the day might hold, I need the Lord when my feet hit the floor. When I leave that bedroom, when I prepare myself to come to church every morning, when I come out to pray and read the Bible or study, whatever I do, or visit or whatever, I need Him.
Yes.
I've never found one job yet in the ministry where I can do it on my own. Never in the Christian experience have I found that I can vision and do this the way that it ought to be without the Lord's help.
Amen.
Without Him, I can do nothing but thank God today. I don't have to go without Him. Amen.
Amen.
He said, I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Though I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, saith God. Hallelujah. When I leave the house, He's with me. When I come home, He's with me. Thank God, thank God. Without Him, I can do nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, without the love of Jesus Christ in the heart and life of a person, his testimony and his ministry will amount to nothing more than tinkling brass, sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. What do you mean, preacher? He said, if I could speak the tongues of men and angels and didn't have love, it would be nothing. If I could give prophecies, or if I could interpret tongues, the message in tongues, if I could do that without love in my heart, it would be nothing. I've heard preachers preach that people can't do that very thing. Then let me make a statement. No one can be used with the gifts of the Holy Ghost unless the Holy Ghost abides in their heart.
Amen.
There's a lot of false out there, but no one can be anointed and used of God in the gifts of the Holy Ghost unless the Holy Ghost lives in his heart and life. The writer to the Hebrews said, I've already mentioned, without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Without the love of God, our ministers are nothing. The writer to the Hebrews said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Old Testament prophet Micah said, God requires to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. What do you say, preacher? If we do not love justice and honesty and the rest, we are not following God.
Amen.
These are truths of the Bible. Then I come to another. I want to conclude with this in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. We started with the 9th. I want to end with the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Listen to this words. The writer said, follow peace with all men and holiness. What's the next word? Without which no man shall see the Lord. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without being born again, no man shall see the kingdom of God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I've often said, your definition of holiness will determine whether you go to heaven or you don't. I mentioned a while ago, if your idea of holiness is following someone else that claims to be a Christian, you might be left behind when the trumpet sounds. The best one to follow is the Lord Jesus Christ. If your definition of holiness is to attend church regularly and give your tithes and offerings, and that will secure your place in heaven, you too are mistaken. Holiness. What is it, Brother Jones? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without being born again, no man can see the kingdom of God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Abundant Love Tabernacle, and all the rest. God does not require the holiness church to live holy any more than it requires the Baptist church to live holy. What is holiness? And I'm going to close. I jotted those three things down when I got up in the morning last night. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without being born again, no man shall see the kingdom of God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see the Lord without holiness. And so I wanted to make it as plain as I could. Holiness is not what we have written in our manual. I hope you understand what I just said. We can write a lot of things in our manual, but if it doesn't line up with the Bible, I hope everything we've written in there lines up with the Bible. But there's a lot more that God requires than what we have in our manual. So let me leave this with you today. What is holiness? What must I have in order to go to heaven? Jesus has died and shed his blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. He's always shed the blood so I can have remission of my sins. Jesus died that I might be born again. And so if I accept him as my Savior and be born again, I can see the kingdom of God. But how about holiness? And so I leave this with you, and my wife has come to the piano. We're going to sing and we're going to pray. This is what God requires. To love the Lord, thy God, with all of your heart, and your soul, and your mind, and your strength. You say, Brother Jones, I can't do that. If you can't do that, you can't make it to heaven. You say, that's strong preaching. But that's the words of the Lord Jesus. Holiness is more than cleaning up on the outside. Holiness is more than wearing a dress below your knees. Holiness is more than a man being modest. And I've got some neighbors that are churchgoers that sometime they had a pool party yesterday. And I'm glad there's a big fence.
Praise the Lord.
I'll share that with you. Holiness is more than a testimony from your lips. It's loving God. And he said it, not me. Loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. How can you do that, Brother Jones? By laying it all on the altar. Lock, stock, and barrel. Give everything to God. Some people say, Brother Jones, I got saved, but I haven't yet got to the place where I love him with all of my heart. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from loving him with everything you've got? Trust him with everything you've got. Trust him with your family. Trust him with your finances. Trust him with your job. Trust him with everything. He's a big God. Play something softly, honey. Amen. I close. I did not go to bed Monday night searching for something to preach this morning. Without being able to go to sleep, I breathed a prayer. Something began to turn over in my soul. I got up and went down and found that envelope. Wrote on the back of the envelope, three thoughts. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. Without being born again, no man shall see the kingdom of God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. If you're here today unsaved, if you're here today have not committed everything to God, you might be a member of this church and been here a long time. If you have not turned everything over to God, do it today. Turn everything over to God today. I'm going to use an illustration, then we're going to pray. I've told this before. I might not have it lined up. A missionary is preaching on the Indian reservation. He gave the altar call. There were those that came to the altar, and one was an Indian chief. He prayed. But when the preacher went to him, the evangelist went to him, whoever the missionary, he wasn't satisfied. He felt like something was missing. So he prayed some more. First thing you know, he took his tomahawk, laid it on the altar. Prayed some more, wasn't satisfied. Took his headdress off, laid it on the altar. Prayed some more. Said to the preacher, I'm not satisfied. Something's missing. And as he prayed, listen to what he did. It was different from this, but that Indian chief got up on the altar and laid down. He was saying, God, I've given my tomahawk, I've given my headdress, I'm giving my all. When you can get to the place where you can say with Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. We are ready for revival, we are ready for heaven. Whenever, when we can get to the place where we can say, I love you with everything I've got, everything I've got, lay it all on the altar, nothing holding back. You're ready for real revival. And ready for heaven, amen. Ready for the sounding of the trumpet. I would to God that everybody here today, when we walk out that door, love God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and your spirit. That's holiness. I have nothing to add to it. Nothing. How long your hair is, how long your dress is, whatever. How a man dresses, nothing to add to it. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, brother. And you'll follow Him. And you'll be a happy believer. Will you stand together with me? Thank God, thank God. Sing. He touched me. Yeah, that's all right. Sing the chorus. Sing the first verse.